Section 6. General Management. Lesson 1. Let's dive into the world of human resource management, or HRM for short. At its core, human resource management is all about effectively planning, organizing, leading, controlling, and evaluating the people within an organization. The ultimate goal? To help the organization achieve its objectives, while ensuring that both management and employees fulfill their responsibilities to one another. Now, let's break down what those obligations look like. On one side, management has a few key responsibilities. First and foremost, they need to provide full pay for the services that employees render. It's also crucial for management to ensure a safe work environment where employees can thrive without fear of harm. And let's not forget about proper supervision. Employees need guidance and support to perform their best. On the flip side, employees also have their own set of obligations. They are expected to possess the necessary skills to carry out their assigned tasks effectively. It's important for them to exercise reasonable care while performing their duties, as this helps protect the organization's assets and interests. Additionally, employees should complete their assignments in line with established performance standards and within a reasonable time frame. Now, when we talk about the functions of human resource management, it encompasses several vital areas. For starters, HRM involves establishing and administering various systems, such as creating a personnel manual or employee handbook, developing clear job descriptions, and maintaining accurate employment records and files. Compliance is another critical aspect. HRM must adhere to federal, state, and local laws and regulations, which cover everything from anti-discrimination policies to compensation and occupational safety and health standards. Recruiting, screening, and selecting the right personnel is also a significant part of HRM. Once the right people are on board, training and development come into play. This includes everything from job orientation and initial training to ongoing development opportunities that help employees grow in their roles. Setting performance objectives and standards is essential too, as it allows for the evaluation of work performance. Supervising employees is another key function of HRM, and it's important that this supervision is consistent, fair, honest, understanding, and supportive. Finally, we can't overlook the sensitive topic of dismissal. HRM must have a progressive discipline system in place, along with clear dismissal policies and procedures to ensure that any necessary actions are handled appropriately and fairly. In summary, human resource management is a multifaceted process that plays a crucial role in the success of any organization, balancing the needs and responsibilities of both management and employees to create a productive and harmonious workplace. Let's talk about contracts in condominium and cooperative associations, especially those with 10 or fewer units. These smaller associations have the option to opt out of certain provisions, but there's a catch. 2/3 of the unit owners must vote in favor of this decision. If they choose to opt out, they can do so by using a proxy that clearly states this exception. Now, when it comes to contracts, there are some important rules to keep in mind. For condominiums and cooperatives, any contract that isn't going to be fully completed within a year, whether it's for purchasing, leasing, or renting materials and equipment, or for providing services, must be in writing. This is crucial for ensuring clarity and accountability. If a contract involves spending more than 5% of the total annual budget, including reserves, the association is required to seek competitive bids for those materials, equipment, or services. For homeowners associations, the threshold is a bit higher. They must obtain bids if the contract exceeds 10% of their total annual budget. However, it's important to note that there's no obligation for the association to accept the lowest bid. Additionally, contracts with employees of the association, as well as those for services from attorneys, accountants, architects, community association managers, timeshare management firms, engineers, and landscape architects, are exempt from the bidding requirement, and in cases of emergencies, bids aren't necessary at all. If the association wants to contract with a business that is the only supplier in the county, they can bypass the bidding process as well. Moving on to written contracts for maintenance or management services in condominiums, these contracts must include specific details to be valid. They need to clearly outline the services to be provided, the cost of each service, how often those services will be. performed, the number of people involved in delivering those services, and any relationship the service provider has with the developer. Additionally, any financial or ownership interest that a board member has in the contracting party must be disclosed. If any of these required elements are missing, the contract simply won't hold up. Now, let's discuss conflicts of interest, particularly for condominium associations. Directors and officers of the board, along with their relatives, must disclose any activities that could be seen as a conflict of interest. A conflict of interest is presumed if, without prior notice, a director or officer, or their relative, enters into a contract for goods or services with the association or has an interest in a business that does business with the association. If a director or officer wants to engage in a potentially conflicting activity, they must list it on the meeting agenda, along with all related documents. The association must follow specific disclosure requirements, and any contract or transaction needs a 2/3 affirmative vote from the other directors present. At the next meeting, the existence of this contract must be disclosed to the members, and they have the right to vote on it. If the contract is canceled, the association is only liable for the reasonable value of the services provided up to that point, without any penalties for cancellation. If the board votes against the proposed activity, the director or officer must inform the board in writing of their decision to withdraw from the activity or resign from their position. If they fail to comply, they could be removed from office. Interestingly, a director or officer involved in a potential conflict can attend the meeting and present their case, but they must leave during the discussion and voting process. If a contract is not properly disclosed as a conflict of interest, it can be voided if at least 20% of the voting members consent to terminate it. Let's shift gears and talk about service providers. A board member, manager, or management company of a condominium cannot purchase a unit at a foreclosure sale that results from the association's foreclosure of its lien for unpaid assessments. This rule is in place to maintain fairness and integrity within the association. If a party is contracted to provide maintenance or management services after the control of the association has been transferred, they, along with their officers or board members, are also prohibited from purchasing units at foreclosure sales. If more than half of the units in a condominium are owned by such a party, the contract for services can be canceled by a majority vote of the unit owners who are not part of that contracting party. Finally, let's touch on conflicts of interest in homeowners associations. Board members and officers appointed by the developer must disclose their relationship with the developer each year they serve. However, just because they are appointed by the developer doesn't automatically mean there's a conflict of interest. All directors and officers, including those appointed by the developer, must disclose any potential conflicts of interest at least 14 days before voting on any related issues or contracts. A conflict of interest is presumed if a director or officer, or their relative, enters into a contract with the association or holds an interest in a business that does business with the association without prior disclosure. Let's talk about maintenance standards and responsibilities within a community association. These standards are not just arbitrary rules, they are actually laid out in the community documents. These documents serve as a guiding framework, detailing what is expected from both the board and the residents when it comes to maintaining and caring for common property. It's essential for everyone involved to understand these standards, as they help ensure that the community remains a safe and pleasant place to live. Now, what happens if the board neglects its duty to maintain or repair the common property? Well, that can lead to some serious consequences. If the board fails to uphold its responsibilities, residents have the right to take legal action against them. This is a crucial point because it emphasizes the importance of accountability within the board. They are entrusted with the care of shared spaces, and if they fall short, they can be held liable for their inaction. On the flip side, it's not just the board that can face legal repercussions. Unit owners also have a responsibility when it comes to common property. If a unit owner causes damage to these shared spaces and then refuses to take financial responsibility for that damage, they too can find themselves facing legal action. This serves as a reminder that everyone in the community plays a role in maintaining the integrity of the property. It's a shared responsibility, and understanding these standards helps foster a cooperative and harmonious living environment. Let's dive into the important topic of hurricane protection for condominiums. It's crucial for the boards of administration, whether for residential or mixed-use condominiums, to take proactive steps in safeguarding their buildings against hurricanes. Each board is required to adopt specific hurricane protection specifications tailored to each building within the condominium. These specifications can cover various aspects, including color, style, and any other factors that the board finds relevant. However, it's essential to note that all these specifications must align with the applicable building codes. When it comes to the installation, maintenance, repair, replacement, and operation of hurricane protection, these actions are not considered significant alterations or additions to the common elements or association property, which is a key point to keep in mind. Now, let's talk about the process for implementing these protections. The board has the authority to install hurricane protection or mandate that unit owners do so, provided that the protection meets or exceeds the current building codes. To move forward with this, a majority vote from the unit owners is necessary. Once the vote is taken, it must be documented in a certificate that includes the installation deadline for the hurricane protection. This certificate is then recorded in the public records of the county where the condominium is located. After recording, the board is responsible for sending a copy of this certificate to all unit owners at their registered addresses. For those who have opted to receive notifications electronically, the board can send the certificate via email. It's important to highlight that even if the board fails to record the certificate or send it out, it doesn't invalidate the unit owner's vote. Interestingly, there are situations where a vote from the unit owners isn't necessary. For instance, if the responsibility for installing, maintaining, or replacing hurricane protection falls on the association as outlined in the original or amended declaration of condominium, then a vote isn't required. Additionally, if hurricane protection that meets current building codes has already been installed, the board cannot mandate the installation of the same type unless it's reached the end of its useful life or if it's needed to prevent damage to the common elements or individual units. The board also has the authority to operate hurricane protection without needing permission from unit owners, but only if it's necessary to protect the condominium property or association property. Furthermore, even if the condominium documents require board approval for installations, the board cannot deny a unit owner's request to install or replace hurricane protection that meets the board's specifications. However, they can enforce adherence to any existing guidelines regarding the external appearance of the condominium. When it comes to costs, unit owners are not liable for the expenses related to the removal or reinstallation of hurricane protection, including windows and doors, if such actions are necessary for the maintenance or repair of other condominium or association property. The board will determine whether the unit owner or the association will handle the removal or reinstallation. If the association takes care of it, they cannot charge the unit owner for those costs. Conversely, if the unit owner manages the removal or reinstallation, the association must either reimburse them or apply a credit toward future assessments equivalent to the cost incurred. Lastly, if the responsibility for removing or reinstalling hurricane protection lies with the unit owner and the association steps in to complete the task, they can charge the unit owner for those services, and such charges will be enforceable as an assessment. This comprehensive approach ensures that all parties are aware of their responsibilities and the processes involved in maintaining hurricane protection within the condominium community. Here are 10 multiple choice questions based on the provided text about human resource management and contracts in condominium and cooperative associations. 1. Is the primary focus of human resource management HRM? A. Financial planning. B. Marketing strategies. C. Product development. D. Managing people within an organization. The correct answer is D. Managing people within an organization is the primary focus of human resource management, HRM. 2. Which of the following is not a responsibility of management in HRM? A. Providing full pay for services rendered. B. Ensuring a safe work environment. C. Completing assignments for employees. D. Providing proper supervision. The correct answer is C. Completing assignments for employees is not a responsibility of management in HR. 3. What is a key obligation of employees in an organization? A. To negotiate their salaries. B. To possess necessary skills for their tasks. C. to manage the organization's finances, D to oversee other employees. The correct answer is B. A key obligation of employees in an organization is to possess necessary skills for their tasks. 4. Which of the following is a critical function of HRM? A. Marketing products. B. Recruiting and selecting personnel. C. Managing customer relations. D. Developing new technologies. The correct answer is B. A critical function of HRM is recruiting and selecting personnel. 5. In condominium associations, contracts that require payment exceeding 5% of the total annual budget must A. be verbal agreements. B. be signed by all unit owners. C. be approved by the developer. D. be obtained through competitive bids. The correct answer is, in condominium associations, contracts that require payment exceeding 5% of the total annual budget must be obtained through competitive bids. 6. What must directors and officers of condominium associations disclose? A. Their personal financial status. B. Any potential conflicts of interest. C. Their educational background. D. Their previous employment history. The correct answer is B. Directors and officers of condominium associations must disclose any potential conflicts of interest. 7. Which type of maintenance involves addressing urgent issues that arise unexpectedly? A. Routine maintenance. B. Preventive maintenance. C. Emergency services. D. Scheduled replacement. The correct answer is C. Maintenance, which involves addressing urgent issues that arise unexpectedly, is emergency services. 8. What is required for a condominium board to approve a unit owner's request for hurricane protection installation? A. Compliance with the board's specifications. B. A unanimous vote from all owners. C. A written request to the developer. D. A public meeting announcement. The correct answer is A. For a condominium board to approve a unit owner's request for hurricane protection installation, the request must be compliant with the board's specifications. 9. What is the maximum fine that can be imposed for violations in homeowners associations? A. $50. B. $200. C. $100. D. $150. The correct answer is C. The maximum fine that can be imposed for violations in homeowners associations is $100. 10. Homeowners have the right to install which of the following, according to statutory provisions? A. Satellite dishes without restrictions. B. Solar collectors. C. Fences of any height. D. Commercial signage. The correct answer is B. Homeowners have the right to install solar collectors, according to statutory provisions. Well, how did you do on this section? You'll find the supporting material in your course manual on pages 171 to 182.